For this evening's meditation, let us find a read together from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13. Let us read the entire chapter. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, the entire chapter. Ljubazni Gospodu na hvalu I na slavu, a nama za nauku I utjehu, želim da se nađe da se čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, glava 13. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 13. glava. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me had lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let us kneel before our God in prayer. That his time was coming, where he needed to depart from this world. As he says, he loved his own, he loved the whole world. Now he was ready to give his life for us, for you and me, for all of us. We know that it wasn't easy. He knew the reason he came. He came because of his love, because he wanted to save us. He wanted to redeem us, give us everlasting joy and life everlasting. And he even prayed to God. He asked God if it's possible that this cup, this bitter cup, would pass over him, that he would not drink from it. Can you imagine if he would not drink from this bitter cup? Where would we be? But he did say, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew that was the reason he came, but it was very hard. As a man, to go through all this humiliation, suffering, and die a slow death on the cross. I don't know if we can imagine being nailed alive on the cross. The gravity is pulling you down, and yet you're hanging between earth and heaven. The pain, I cannot imagine. But he went through it. He suffered for all of us. And here in this chapter, Jesus showed many examples to his disciples. He did many miracles. And yet here at the end, he's humbling himself even more. As they had a supper together, that was their last supper, he says, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. How can the devil put something in our heart? There's only one way, if we allow him. How can anyone put something inside of our house if the house is locked, secured? Only if we unlock it. We don't even have to open the door. We don't even have to invite anyone in. If the door is not locked, if we're not watching, anyone can come in and put whatever they want to or take whatever they want to. So Judas Iscariot, he says in here that he was a thief. So he was carrying the treasure bag and seemed like he was stealing from it. Even though he was one of the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus, that saw all his miracles that he has done. And yet for 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed the righteous blood. So Jesus knew, and he said that he rises from the supper, and he took a towel and girded himself. He put water in the basin, and then he started washing the feet of the disciples. What must one do before he can wash someone else's feet? You cannot do it by standing. You cannot do it by sitting. You have to kneel down. You have to go way down to the ground. Humble yourself as far as you can go. That's what Jesus did. He went all the way down on his knees to wash the feet of disciples. What a humbleness, humility, meekness, love. This was the act of love. You know, the word love is a verb. It requires action. We can say we love your brother, we love each other, but if we don't show, we don't do anything about it, it's empty. Well, Jesus here showed a perfect, perfect example of humility. He was very meek. The Psalm 186, second verse, it says, "See how meek was our dear Savior, void of every kind of pride, friendly, loving, gentle ever, from vainglory turned aside." Let me read the rest, I can't remember exactly. "In his life none could moreover boastful vanity discover. So to us the Lord does speak, learn of me, for I am meek." As he was washing their feet and wiping them with the towel, I'm sure all of the disciples were surprised, but none of them said anything except Peter. When he came up to Peter, he said, "Will you wash my feet?" He felt unworthy, which is fine. He did not want Jesus being the master, the teacher, the Messiah, Son of God, to wash his feet. But Jesus said to him, "What I do now, you do not know, but you will know later." And he did know later. But Peter, at this time, he said, "Thou wilt never wash my feet." Again, he meant well. He did not want Jesus to wash his feet. Kind of like when Jesus came to the River Jordan to be baptized, and John the Baptist, he didn't want to baptize him. "I need to be baptized of you, not me baptizing you." But Jesus said, we need to fulfill God's will. Again, it was another example that Jesus showed everyone. He was baptized, and we need to be baptized if we want to have eternal salvation. So when Peter says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet," then Jesus said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." We know that Peter loved Jesus, but sometimes he was a little too quick to say things. He was very eager. And even when the disciples were named, Peter was always number one. They always named him first, Peter, James, and John. He was ready to say things without thinking, to do things without thinking. Even when they came to take Jesus, to take him away, he pulled a sword and cut the servant's ear off. He wanted to protect Jesus because he loved him. He did. He really did love Jesus. But when Jesus told him, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. I have nothing to do with you." Now that changed a little bit then. When Peter heard that, he could not let that go. Then he says, verse 9, Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." He gave himself completely. Wash everything. He wants to have part with Jesus. Just like we do. We all want to have part with Jesus, with our God. then Jesus said, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Sadly to say, there was one, and we all know, Judas Iscariot, who was not clean. Even though he followed him, he was his disciple, he walked with him, he was not clean. He wanted that 30 pieces of silver. For him, that was worth more than everlasting life. And we know what happened at the end when he betrayed him. What did he do with the 30 pieces of silver? He didn't use them. He didn't buy anything. He came back to the temple and threw it all on the floor. And then he couldn't live with himself. The conscience bothered him. Then he hung himself. So was it worth it? But he allowed Satan to enter into him, and he betrayed Jesus. So after Jesus washed their feet and he sat down again, he says, do you know what I have done to you? He said, you call me master, you call me Lord, and you say it well. That is true. He is master. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's our Savior. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and your master, above his disciples, above his students, he said, if I have washed your feet, then you also have to wash one another's feet. What does that mean? That means to esteem one another better than ourselves, to be humble. And like I said earlier, the only way to wash someone's feet, got to go down on your knees. You have to humble yourself. It's the only way. We don't practice this, but it is a spiritual example for us to esteem one another better than ourselves and not to think highly of ourselves, but low, to keep low, low estate. The Word of God says, humble yourself before the living God that he may exalt you, that he may lift you up, but not us, ourselves. We need to keep and stay humble. And that's the example Jesus has given unto them. Verse 15, it says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And then he explains, he says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. The Word of God also said that who is greater, he that sits at the table to eat or the one to serve it? Isn't he that sits at the table and waits to be served? But Jesus said, but I am as a servant among you. So he came as a servant, even though he's the Son of God, he's the Master. But he showed us the example, which we need to follow. If we don't, then we cannot be his disciples. Simple as that. If you know these things, happy are ye, not just to know them, if you do them. So if we do what Jesus has done, then we will indeed be happy. Then again, he speaks about Judas Iscariot, and he quotes the Psalm number 41, verse 9, where he says, he that eateth bread with me had lifted up his heel against me. They ate together, they walked together, they were friends. Jesus even called them when he came to the garden when he brought the soldiers. And Jesus called him, my friend, what are you doing here? And he told the soldiers, the one who I will give the holy kiss, he is the one. He betrayed Jesus with the holy kiss. Now, the disciples understood that Jesus said that one of them will betray him. So they wanted to know who. It's one of them, one of the 12 that were sitting around the table. And they, some other chapters from different gospels, it says that each one of them will say, is it I? Is it I? Even Judas Iscariot said, is it me? You don't think it's me? What did Jesus say to him? You said it. You said it. And the disciples still did not understand. So Peter, he says to, in verse 23, he says, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We know that was John. He was the one that wrote the gospel. And yet, John never wrote here, this was me. I was the one that was close to Jesus. Even at the same gospel, according to John, when Jesus arose from the dead, Peter and John, again, it didn't say John, they ran to the sepulcher to see, and it says that the other disciple ran faster. Again, that was John, to see what happened when he arose from the dead. So since he was sitting right next to Jesus, and it doesn't mean that Jesus did not love everyone, but he was really close to John, kind of like Lazarus. He really loved Lazarus too. We all know, we all have friends, and we have real close friends. That doesn't mean that we don't love anyone else, just the one friend, but they were very, very close here. So Peter says, he beckoned to him that he should ask who it is that will betray him. So when John asked Jesus, and he says, he clearly opened up to them and he said, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. So he actually told him, to whoever I give a sup when I have dipped it, he is the one. And they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. So with the sup, the morsel, devil entered into Judas. He did not just talk him into it, he entered into him. Now, how can you be holy when you have devil in yourself? You cannot. He separated himself from the disciples and Jesus. So Jesus now tells him that thou doest, do quickly. Do it fast. Now, nobody at the table knew, again, what he was talking about, so they thought, well, he has the bag. He might have to buy something for the feast or give the money to the poor. Still did not understand. But as he had received the morsel, as the devil went into him, he walked out, and he went to tell the soldiers to come and take him. Then the rest of the chapter, Jesus is telling them that he will be with them yet a little while, for a little longer, and that he needs to go. And he also, I believe, the next chapter, chapter 14, where he speaks to the disciples, he tells them that he needs to go so that the Comforter can come, the Holy Spirit, another Comforter, which means he is the one, he is the Holy Spirit, but he will send the other one that will guide us, lead us, protect us, be with us constantly as being the children of God. So he told them that he needs to go. And then Peter again, he said, whither goest thou? Where are you going? He wanted to go with him. He took it literally. But Jesus said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said again, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now he said a little too much. I am ready. In another chapter, he says, I'm ready to die for you and go to prison with you or for you. He was ready. He had the zeal. He had love for Jesus. He was ready to die for him. We all promised when we were baptized, when we made a covenant with God, that we will give life for Christ. And I hope and pray that we all remember this, and that if God will ask us to, that we will be ready. It will not be easy, but we need to keep our promise. But here, Peter was so willing to do whatever it takes. He says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. And then Jesus said, will you lay down your life for my sake? You know, I noticed something as reading, when Jesus called his disciples, he changed Simon, his name was Simon originally, he changed his name to Peter, which means rock, a boulder, something strong. And yet, every time Jesus spoke to Peter, he never called him Peter. He always told him Simon. Why did he call him Simon when he changed his name from the very beginning? Why didn't he call him rock, solid rock? Because he wasn't yet. He was still Simon. Simon means listen, or he hears. So he's always telling him, listen, hear. He wasn't ready to be that rock until later, until he received the Holy Spirit, when he was strengthened, when he received the strength from the Comforter, from the Holy Spirit. Then he was Peter. Then he was the strong rock. Until then, Jesus always called him Simon. In another chapter, he calls him Simon Peter. Listen, you solid rock. You will lay down your life for me? And then he told him here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me 3 times. And we know that he did. The Bible says, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They will all run away. Well, John stayed. He knew Caiaphas. He was somehow known to him. And Peter came also, but he was outside. So John came and he brought him in. He brought him inside. So he came. He wanted to see. He really loved Jesus. He came inside. He was warming himself. And one of the servants says, aren't you one of the disciples? Nope. 3 times he denied him. I do not know him. I have no idea. He denied him with the curse, with the oath. And yet here, he's ready to die for him. Whatever it takes, he will go to prison with him. You know, it's easier to promise than to fulfill. It's very easy to promise. In good days, when nothing is happening, nobody's after us, it's easy to promise. But when something does happen, especially here when Peter was thinking that he might be in trouble, because now he saw Jesus being taken away, kind of looked at Jesus as someone without strength, without power anymore. He was taken away by the soldiers. And now he felt afraid. Now I do not know him anymore. When Jesus was healing the sick and doing all these miracles, he felt strong. Kind of like James and John. They thought they have the power and authority. Let's ask God for the fire to come down and destroy the Samaritans because they didn't let him go through. Or the two that went to the city of Emmaus. They said, yeah, this Jesus was great and in power and word, and he died, but now it's all over. They lost faith. Peter did too. When he denied him, he lost faith. He did not know him anymore, just because he was afraid. So when he heard as it says, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times, He went out and he wept. He realized what he has done. But Jesus forgave him because he knew that he wasn't strong enough. We also, dearly beloved, as we journey to this world, when we make a promise, let us make sure to fulfill it. But not by ourselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need to ask God to give us strength, to give us power, to give us faith, everything that we need so that we will fulfill the promises that we made before many witnesses. And let us not be quick to speak and to say, we will do this, we will do that. But anything that we want to do, may we always say, with God's help, if it's Lord's will. And we will be blessed, and God will be with us. He will protect us and watch over us. Hope and pray that these few words that I was able to speak in my weakness, that they would edify our souls and our hearts and our minds, that we would meditate upon Him, and that we would always read so that we can be strong in faith, so that we can prosper on this righteous way that leads to heaven.
Jesus tells his mother in the beginning of this gospel that my hour is not yet come. And he now recognizes and knows that his hour has come. And he takes his beloved disciples with him. And he goes up into the upper room. And they're all there. And he warns and he speaks to them. And he tells them, one of you is going to betray me. And we can see the shock on them as they look inward and look at one another, and Judas knows what he's doing. Judas already sought out the high priest, the chief priest, and made a deal with them already. He knew what he already done. And Jesus is telling him, I still love you. You still have a chance to repent. But it tells us here that the words that really hit me every time I read this, it tells us that after Jesus has spoken to them, it says that Judas walked out. He left. He left the upper room. He left the light. Jesus is light. He speaks of that in the previous chapter, in the first 12 chapters of John. He speaks of his, and so he leaves light. He walked away from the light, and it tells us, and it was dark. Jude tells us, it says that for him and for all who walk away from the light, that to them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He chose the darkness over the light. He left the fellowship that he had with the saints there in that room and let his feet carry him. The feet that his master had just washed. He allowed his feet to carry him to sit with the sinners and to the scornful and those who were plotting the death of the master. That's what he chose. He never knew another moment of joy or peace or happiness the rest of his life, and nor will he ever in eternity. For what? For what? For what? And so, dear ones, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Master, who showed us a way of humility, of being a servant. And we can either choose to be with Him in the light, or we can say no and go into the darkness. And for us will be reserved the blackness of that darkness forever. For what? And with With Judas now departed, Jesus tells them, he says, little children, I'm going to give you a new law. This law is love. Sink your differences into this sea of love. Sink them. Get rid of them. Love one another. That's how the world will know that you are mine. Do we love like that? Because if we don't, dear ones, we're in the darkness. It's darkness without this love, because this is God. This is His love. And He says, this is the love that you are to have. And so, dear ones, what Jesus has done for us, all that He has done, all that He has shown, all that He is showing us a way of humility and kindness and compassion, and the world will only know that you are mine by the love that you have one for another. And there's so many things that rise up, create feuds, create hatred even. Yes. No, we're not going to admit it, but that's what rises up. You can't be His disciple. We can't. So we're going to leave the fellowship of the saints in the light and walk willfully into the blackness of darkness forever. Over what? A feud? I don't like him. He said this. She said this. Throw those things into the sea of love. And Jesus is giving us this. He's giving us this instruction in this way. It's the new law. It's the only way to His heart. And so, dear ones, when we read the Word, let's really open our heart to see, where am I? Jesus is warning me. Jesus is showing me. Jesus is telling me. Am I choosing willfully the blackness of darkness forever? Are my feet going to carry me from here into sin, into hate, into gossip, into the things that will carry me away from Him forever? And then I'm pretending I'm happy. Satan is deceiving me into thinking I'm joyful and content. I'll never know it in this life or in the life to come. May God bless His word upon our hearts and truly reveal to each of us, dear ones, where we stand before Him, our love for Him, our love for one another, so that we could truly enjoy the peace and the fellowship that we have with one another and with Him, when He is our Master, when He is our Lord, when He is our all. Peter just confessed that Jesus is his Lord, and his Lord took the towel and was going to wash his feet. This is something Peter didn't expect. And dear ones, who are we that we can't do the same? Are we greater than our Master? May God break that pride within us and give us hearts that are receptive to Him, to His will, and create in us a new heart that will love Him and one another. May God bless His word. Amen.